Welcome to the Education Marketing Leader Podcast with Chris Raposo. If you're looking to dive into the latest industry insights, draw inspiration from education success stories, or just want to sharpen your marketing skills, you're in the right place. Here, we bring you a diverse range of voices from experts and leaders in the field, offering you a unique blend of professional development and practical strategies. Whether you want to understand your audience better, stay updated with the latest tech trends in marketing, or expand your professional network, we've got you covered. So while you're driving on your morning commute or winding down after a busy day, let's explore the dynamic world of education marketing together.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Education Marketing Leader with Chris Raposo. Today, my guest is joining me from the great state of Michigan. He is the founder of Tell Studios and Enroll Films, where he elevates brands with soulful video storytelling. Ryan Coral, welcome to the show.
Chris, super fun to be here. Thank you for the invites. Let's do this.
Soulful video storytelling. I love it already, man. It's going to be so good. But tell us a little bit about yourself. What got you into video marketing in the first place and why you decided to focus on the higher ed sphere?
Yeah, I dabbled in video as a junior high kid and a high school kid, made zombie videos and terrible cartoons in MS Paint, and just had a lot of fun, but never dreamed of taking it seriously or ever being able to make money from it, especially if you saw any of this, the things that we were creating back in like the mid 1990s. And in the late 90s, I ended up at a small Christian college called Rochester College. Today it's known as Rochester Christian University. And I went to school there. I graduated there. They wanted to keep me around, and I ended up working in the enrollment department because I was just passionate about this place. My life was changed at this school. I met my wife there. I met some of our best friends there. My wife is my best friend, but we met some other best friends that we share. And so I'm working in the enrollment department, and you know, the church that we were going to made these incredibly powerful stories that I would see these on a weekly basis of an individual's life transformation. Life was like this. Something happened. There was a moment in their life and everything changed. And I would just be bawling watching these 7 or 8 minute long stories. And something inside of me just said, like, I want to make that. I want to do that. And the technology had changed in the early 2000s, where you could actually shoot on a video camera, plug it into with a FireWire cable into a computer, and edit right there on the computer, like immediately, versus like, you know, back in the old days, reel to reel, it takes so long and expensive equipment. And this stuff was actually affordable. I had convinced my boss at the college to buy me a laptop and one of these video cameras, and I got to start making. Got to make all sorts of different kinds of videos. And then eventually I said, I want to do this like all the time. And I ended up leaving the school and I started my own business. And this was in 2004. And it's been 20 years since then. And I've done a lot of different stuff, a lot of different kind of videos over the course of the years. And probably about a decade ago is when we started really working with businesses and higher ed institutions. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't until about 2.5 years ago that we filmed a documentary, ended up being about a 40-minute long documentary on the basketball coach from the university that I graduated from, who he was responsible for me ending up at the school. And so there's this just this serendipity-ness, Lee, if that's a word, making things up. But they asked us if we wanted to film Garth's story. And for me, it was like this full circle moment of like, I'm doing this work today because of this guy who saw something in me, introduced me to his boss, the president. I got the scholarship at the school, and everything changed for me. So to film that documentary was amazing. And in doing it, I realized I'm like, I love the mission of what higher ed is all about. And so I said, if we could tell more of the transformation stories inside of higher ed, like Garth's story, the impact that he's had on so many young men, including me, if we could do more of that kind of stuff, that's what I want to do. And that's when we created Enroll Films, which essentially is a Tell Studios company. It's just a real focus on higher ed. So that's what we're doing. All the things and having a good time telling stories and meeting incredible people like yourself, man.
It's all about having a good time, man. Yeah, you are indeed a very kind person, because when we first met a year ago or so, We had a brief intro call because Bart Kaler introduced each other to with one another. And you, out of blue, you're sending me this book.
Oh, yeah.
So you gave me this book, right? I was like, what's this guy all about? Like, I never met a guy on a LinkedIn intro call that sends me a gift. So the funny thing about this is I paid it forward. I met a guy, Rafi DeSimone, and a couple of months ago at a higher ed conference, and I sent him that book.
Dude, how fun is that? That's great. I forgot I did that. And I'm not trying to, it's not like fake humility. I was just like, what story is he going to share? I'm like, oh, I am a nice guy.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely you are. Now, though, what sprung this or what birthed this episode? I wanted you on the show anyways, because I'm a big fan of the Hired Marketer podcast. And I know you were on that show a while ago, and I listened to a lot of episodes. And to me, that was probably one of the most authentic episodes I've ever heard on a podcast, just because you shared your story, your personal story on that unapologetically. So you don't get that a lot anywhere, really. So really cool to have you on the show. But
that's awesome.
When you posted something on LinkedIn, because I work in marketing as well, I use video a lot to put it on our website. But what I do usually is I embed a YouTube code to get people from our website to our YouTube channel to look at other resources that we have. But you made the argument that people should embed native videos on hired websites and why this is crucial. So can you elaborate a little bit on that and why you believe keeping viewers on the site is more beneficial than driving them to a YouTube channel?
Yeah, well, I mean, YouTube, it's the number two search engine in the world, right? So I think, I hope we all know this today and that we realize that that's very important and there's an incredible opportunity to be discovered on YouTube. I think my opinion, and definitely I've been wrong once or twice before, but this is my opinion, so I think it's right. My preference, if you go to somebody's homepage and you're wanting to learn more about the person, the institution, or whatever, the look and feel should be clean, and it should the intention should be to keep them on this website for as long as possible. If you embed a YouTube video, let's say on your front page, YouTube, you know, you can click on the title inside of that embedded video and then end up going and watching that video on YouTube. Well, what you've done is now you've left the webpage that I was trying to keep you there and explore all of the things that we have to offer. And so now you're somewhere else, or you get to the end of a video and then it starts suggesting other videos that's based on your algorithm and other things might not be related at all. Might not even be like more videos for me. Probably won't be more videos for me. So controlling the narrative, I guess, might be a way to say it. You want people to hang out on your website as long as possible. You probably have some calls to action, or at least one main call to action on your site, and you want them to do that thing, which might be to call you, to email you, to sign up, download a lead magnet or something free on your website so you get their email. But having them go off of your website to YouTube is not great. Now, people would argue and say, well, it's going to help with your views. So YouTube is going to feed that video to other people that might be searching similar things. And I don't disagree or argue with that. But what I want is I want that front page or any of your main pages to have a clean, professional experience. And I just don't think that YouTube offers that in that way. Now, this was one of my most engaged posts on LinkedIn, which I was like, wow, this is interesting. I rarely take like very positions like that are what's the word, like
controversial.
I don't even think that's necessarily that controversial. I was just stating something that I thought that most everybody, you know, would agree with me on, and oh boy, everybody had an opinion. I'm like, this is fantastic. Now I've added to my in the comments on that post, I said, you know, here's what I do think would work really well is if you have a blog or any kind of like active social page that's intended to be socially media minded. So a blog, or I don't know what another, like maybe like a podcast page or something like that, that's a perfect place where, you know, you could have a blog post that's all about the YouTube video that you just posted. So that the text and the copy is all about, you know, kind of reiterating or just building on that thought or idea. And then you could embed your video there, because I feel like that's more like the kind of interaction that I would expect or sign off on and say, like, this is okay. Like, once, if we get them into our place where we're trying to engage in a different way than we are on our homepage, if they end up on YouTube or if there's other, it's a little bit more acceptable from my perspective.
Yeah, definitely. I really agree with that. I do put videos, embed them with the YouTube script on the website, just because I wanted to grow our YouTube channel through a blog post. It's not the homepage video. We have a homepage video that is embedded natively, so I don't drive anybody away. But for the blog post, I do every once in a while embed a short or a long form video for people to reach our YouTube channel. But you are right. There's a YouTube vortex where you just get sucked into it and you never return to their website. But you mentioned the story of Garth, I believe, the basketball coach.
Yeah, yeah.
I always say I love social proof is the best proof, I think. What do you think? What are most effective types of videos on hired websites? And how did it contribute to the university's goals, such as enrollment and brand awareness?
Yeah, I mean, the crazy thing about this piece on Garth, it's like a, you know, there was a donor that came forward that has been a longtime friend of Garth. He's been a mentor. Garth has been a mentor for this guy. And he wanted to fund this project. He said, I'd love to do a documentary. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I've seen 30 for 30s on ESPN. And I think like this is Garth's story. Mm-hmm. And so this piece that's, you know, north of 30 minutes is like, it is the best sales tool that a university could ever have. In my humble opinion. I mean, granted, we did this film and I have a connection with Garth, but you watch this piece and you learn about his story and you learn about his impact. And this guy has lived and breathed this university for the past 50 years. I mean, his whole life has been there. And every school, every university has a person that's like this. Mm-hmm. But there's no pitch in the video telling like, hey, schedule a visit. Hey, look at all of our happy students and all of the best things that there are some things that definitely allude to that. But really, at the end of the day, you're seeing this guy whose mission is in alignment with the school's mission and the values that he carries. It's because of the school, or they're just, they go together. And so you have this piece, because people ask a question, and I know this is one of the questions that was on your list. Say, hey, like, maybe we can talk about this. Is like, how long should a video be? Mm-hmm. Well, a video should be as long as it needs to be in order to engage the person and get the person to think, feel, or do the thing that you want them to do. Mm-hmm. And I mean, how many of us have ever binge watched a show or watched a trilogy that has, you know, the episode or the movie length is like 2.5 hours each? Mm-hmm. We've all spent more than, you know, a minute or 2 minutes watching a video before. And for those videos that aren't that interesting or that don't connect to our heart and soul, it's like, we don't care about them. So like, let's move on. If it's not going to entertain us or engage us in some other way, then there's no reason. I remember I was at a conference, higher ed conference a few months ago, and I was sitting next to a guy. It was like the first day of the conference. And, you know, hey, what do you do? What do you do? He's like, oh, I'm president of the school. And oh, you do video. That's so cool. Yeah, we have a video on our site. I'm like, oh, that's cool. Like, what is it? He's like, oh, it's on our front page and it's about our history. And I'm like, oh, immediately. I'm just like, wow, that sounds boring. Yeah, I didn't tell him this. I did make a sound like, oh, interesting. Well, tell me more. He's like, yeah, it's like this 20-minute long. And I'm like, oh man, like this just, who are you trying to get to watch this on your front page? I could see like further down the funnel for maybe a donor or a parent or somebody like that. But if your front page is intended, maybe if it's intended for students, there's no way that anybody's going to watch that video. And he did tell me, he's like, yeah, hardly anybody's watched it. And that's the only video we've done. I'm like, yeah, because you haven't seen any ROI or any momentum with the videos that you're doing. So back to answering your question, like a story is the best. Like when you have somebody who is passionate, who is authentic and really, really cares, and they've had some kind of a transformation, small or big. That is interesting. That will always be interesting to us human beings, no matter how much AI can make video for us or can make blog post copy or whatever. But when you bring a real story and a real person whose life has been changed in some way, like that is interesting, especially like an underdog story.
Oh,
that's super interesting,
yeah.
Right?
Super so, interesting. Like Rudy, right?
Oh my
University,
God.
University of Notre Dame, 2 hours, global reach.
I mean, how many people as a kid grew up, I didn't know, the only colleges I knew were Michigan, Michigan State as a little boy. Watching that show, I'm like, or that movie, I'm like, oh, Notre Dame, they're in my top three, right? Mm-hmm. Because my heart was just connected to this story.
Mm-hmm.
So I think stories are the most effective. Not every school has a donor that would say like, yeah, we'll pay a lot of money for a 40-minute documentary. But mm-hmm. what about a 3-minute or a 5-minute story? Mm-hmm. You know, thinking about the videos that I would see at the church that we used to go to, these 7-minute pieces on one person's yeah. story. And I'm like, I'm all in, man. Like this is impacting me. I'm changing the way that I think because of what I'm seeing here. So when you can show up honestly, authentically, and not just showing all of the bright spots of campus and mm-hmm. all of the amazing things that you offer, but you can tell real, honest, sometimes raw, sometimes not so pretty stories. Yeah. That's reality. And that's what, especially the generation that's coming up right now, that's what they are looking for. That's what they connect with, because you see the media that they're watching, and it's like, it's as real as, I mean, you yeah. know, you pull your phone out, you make a video. It is what it is. There's no editing. And I think we make it a lot harder than it probably needs to be. So story is probably the most impactful. Testimonials, right? Mm-hmm. Like when you do a testimonial, I'm not looking for like a 5-star review. I'm not looking for a, this school's the best, like great professors, love the campus, blah, blah, blah. Cause that's what everybody says. It's like, what was your life like before you attended here?
Mm-hmm.
And what is it like now, whether yeah. you're still there or you graduated from there or just your post there? What is that transformation? When you can get people talking about that transformation, they can see themselves mm-hmm. Or they can see like, wow, this is a real story. This place gets it. And it's not my story, but I can see myself connecting there like that.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Those authenticity is key. There's platforms out there that they're called Be Real. People are looking for real stories. These student success stories that aren't just the successes, but also the struggles that go into it, yeah. because it's not a cakewalk if you go to university, right? There's always something that's going to come up, and a lot of stressors that are associated with that, especially as non-traditional students and adult learners going back to school. I recently had the head of marketing for Southeastern Community College out of Iowa, Jeff Ebbing, on the show, and he shared this story about one of his graduates who talked about sitting in her car, ready to go to school, being afraid to go for the first day because of fear of failure, and how her family, her husband, her parents brought her through it as well. So the testimony was about her, but also about the support system they had behind
yeah.
them, you know, in order to make it through. So it takes a village, as they say.
Yeah.
Now, we talked a lot about student stories being the students, obviously student stories, but success stories. But what about faculty spotlights? You see some success there as well and some relevance?
For sure. I mean, you know, Garth was the basketball coach there for 40 plus years, teacher for 50. Like sometimes those are the most interesting stories. Mm-hmm. It's like, why does Mrs. Smith, why has she been working in the registrar's office for the last 50 years? Like, seriously, like this was her first job and she stayed there. It's because of the culture. It's the students. It's seeing them and hearing their stories and seeing their life transformation and talking to the student that was nervous because, you know, she was afraid she wasn't going to succeed and being able to encourage her, because I've seen thousands of students come through here and you're not alone. You're going to be okay. It's going to be fine. Like faculty and staff, like, they all have stories. Why are they there? Why are, especially at the, you know, little Christian college that I went to, I mean, they don't pay a lot of money to work there. So if you work there, it's a calling. I mean, it's literally, you feel called to this work because you could probably make a lot more money elsewhere. And so why do you do this? And to hear somebody say, like, I feel like this is my calling. This is my mission. I'm here because my life was changed here, or I'm here because I feel like I have something to offer and I can encourage somebody and help somebody in some way, shape, or form. This is what I was designed to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially when it comes to community college faculty and teachers and marketers as well. I go to NCMPR, National Council for Marketing and Public Relations, every year, and it's specifically for two-year technical school and community college marketers and PR professionals. And I think to myself, sometimes I talk to these people that have been there 30 years, right? And they have all this vast experience. They could no problem make double or three times as much that they do at the community college level in the private sector, but they're still there. Supporting the backbone of America, you know, that's something you got to appreciate. Now, earlier you said something about videos being recorded, like the students, Gen Zers, Gen Alpha as well, being used to videos recorded on their cell phones, like, you know, being raw videos, everyday life sort of stuff. So, but on the contrary, you do high production stuff. So how can universities strike a balance between high production value and authenticity in video content, especially when targeting traditional age students?
Yeah. I think that's the key, is like realizing that there's a difference. And I think there's a time and a place for both of those. Like, if I think about a gala or something like that, like at the end of the year, if somebody's doing a fundraiser or something, and we're watching, you know your audience, right? Your audience is primarily going to be older people who have money that want to partner and want to, you know, probably spend a lot of money. So for them to watch a vertical video of, you know, a college kid walking around, you know, they like maybe, but probably they're probably not on TikTok and they're probably not, you know, snapping, and they're just not, that's not reality for them, and that's okay. Right. So we make a 16:9, just a regular format kind of video in a pacing that that is designed for a different kind of storytelling. And then we think about, like, OK, well, if you're in the enrollment department and you're creating content for students, you're probably creating content for students and for parents. And there might need to be a differentiation between the kinds of content that you're creating for either of those audiences. So I think the selfie style, again, I think that can work for both audiences, but it really depends on what's your goal at the end of the day. And if you're trying to create connection, showing up authentically, you know, not having super polished lighting and three cameras and, you know, all of the angles for something that's designed for, you know, high school senior that just, you know, he's looking at multiple schools and it feels like, I don't know. It feels like that person looks really good. Like, they just picked the best looking, the best orator. I don't even know if that's a word, but, you know, the best person, the best talker. It's the kind of word I use. You know, so I think knowing where, you know, who's showing up, if you've got students on staff, you know, they should definitely be hopping around on different platforms, especially vertical, creating stories that are relevant. And I think it's okay to, in a sense, control the narrative to say, like, hey, we want to be telling the kind of stories, like, if you've had a great experience here, I don't want you just to say, like, have a great experience. Like, why, what has been a great experience? Like, what's changed in your life? Has this place made you better? No. Okay. Well, maybe we won't spend as much time talking with you. Or what would you want this school, to be? Or, you know, have they changed since you've been here for the better? Have they helped you? Yeah, I don't know if I'm answering your question at all, but I think there's different kinds of formats depending on who your audience is and what you're trying to build. Like, if you're just going to do like one video, like there's some schools that are like, well, we got our new marketing budget and we've got enough money for one video. It's like, oh, okay. So maybe in that sense, you're creating like one powerful story of one mm-hmm. student, or it's more like a brand film where it's like, hey, let's grab a couple of stories. We're not going to be able to go super deep into these, but these can look and feel more professional, a little bit more produced. They don't need to mm-hmm. feel like, wow, this seems like, you know, a Hollywood studio just came mm-hmm. in and, you know, there's 100 different angles and all these different things, but it feels like they value their message and they want to put their money where their mouth is.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, you just have enough money for that one video. Great. Well, do we have any staff or students that are passionate about social media that could, you know, take their cell phone and, hey, like, let's create a little campaign. And whether that's one video a week or, you know, a few per quarter, let's do some storytelling over here with this device. And it doesn't need to be like, it can, don't tell Ryan this, but you can have mixed lighting and the framing can be off and that's okay.
Yeah. No, it makes a lot of sense. And you did answer my question earlier with the different audience. It's a 16:9 for donor galas, for example. You know, if you have a high polished video for people that are in their, I don't know, 50s, 60s, 70s that are used to the cinematic format, they appreciate it a lot more and it hits home with them a little bit more. Yeah. And it fits the occasion as well to have something more polished. In that regard. Now, you already answered this quite a bit there. The next question was going to be about the institutions with a limited budget or somebody like the person you met at the conference who only has one video and does not see the results that he wants or she wants. And then they're just like, hey, maybe it's not time, or maybe it's not a benefit of or a good stewardship of our resources to go ahead and produce high quality videos. So what are some of the cost-effective strategies to produce higher quality videos that still resonate with target audiences? You mentioned the lighting earlier. Is there certain things like camera, microphone, lighting that somebody can pick up next week, for example, when they listen to this episode and get started with this?
Yeah. I think the easiest thing to do is to use whatever camera you have. And mm-hmm. probably everybody has this little phone very near themselves. Mm-hmm. And you can create like gorgeous stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, could you spend $50 and get a nice softbox, a nice light? Mm-hmm. Not everybody, but you don't have to spend hundreds of dollars anymore on like halfway decent lighting. I mean, a $50 light is pretty cheap light, but you can actually make something look pretty good with a pretty inexpensive light. You could spend $50 or $100 on a decent microphone and, you know, start building. My suggestion for schools is like, you should have a room or an office or someplace where you're kind of like camera ready, even if it's with an iPhone. Get a tripod and a holder for your phone, and you can do it vertical or horizontal, get a nice little light, and then just be able to have this space that's like always ready to create content. And you don't have to plan out like a super impressive brand story or a three-part thing. It's like, hey, let's just bring in some students or faculty or whatever, and let's do these mini interviews and just say like, hey, what's getting you excited about campus right now? Or what are you looking forward to? Or why did you decide to come here? I mean, there are so many, I call them frequently asked questions that you could just pop off and have pretty much anybody stop in for 5 minutes and create content that you could put at the very least, just create little stories on Instagram or wherever your students are hanging out. Mm-hmm. And, you know, super simple editing software is Descript. I mean, just so quick to drop some video files in there. And I mean, Descript, if you don't know it, it's like Google Docs meets iMovie. iMovie is like one of the simplest video editing apps. And Google Docs, you know, you've got the transcript, everything that the person says, and you can edit the video just by highlighting the text that you don't like and hitting delete. And then it edits that part of the video out. It's like so fast and effective.
It is.
I've got a whole, I don't know if am I allowed to share a resource? Sure.
Of course.
So if you go to enrollfilms.com/gear, I've got a whole list of very affordable. I've kind of created like two or three different packages of like here's a super affordable, use your, you know, smartphone, really inexpensive light, really inexpensive microphone. Then if you got a medium budget, a few different options there. And I'm constantly updating that document. So if your people want access to that, they can just go there and get access to that document with gear that, I mean, I own a lot of it. I've got our amazing studio in Lake Orion, and then I've got my home studio here.
Yeah.
And what I'm trying to do is constantly, you know, what's super inexpensive that works. And so I'm always trying out new gear. And for the stuff that I like, I put on that list and hope that people aren't making the excuse of like, oh no, like we have to spend $5,000 to get the things that we need.
And I'll be sure to share the link in the recap. And everybody, that's really super insightful stuff that you're sharing here for free, because you don't get really a lot of benefit out of that, sharing some of these free resources with the audience. But as I said, if anybody wants to double down on it, you know, make sure to contact Ryan on this. But if somebody invests in it, obviously they have to show some of the successes as well. Are there any specific metrics or KPIs that universities should focus on when it comes to their video marketing?
The app that I use for measuring success, I mean, one way of measuring success is by how many views you get. I don't know if that's very helpful or accurate, especially if you're putting your stuff on YouTube, because who knows who's watching it, if it's videos on your website. I love the video platform called Wistia.
Mm.
It shows how long somebody watches your video. It shows, are there parts that people rewatch of your video? So was there something that was said, or just, you know, something visually, so you can kind of see where and how people are engaging. You can gate your videos, so you can require an email address for the documentary that we did. I think it was, you could watch the first 5 minutes for free, and then if you wanted to watch the rest, you just needed to give us your email address. And so a little thing would pop up. And so capturing email addresses, that to me is success. If you're for us, anytime that we're doing anything, you know, our call to action usually is like, hey, sign up to this thing, or click this button, or, you know, here's some gated content. If you really want access, give us your email address and you can have access to all of the things. So those are some of the analytics that will look. I mean, certainly views can be helpful, but at the end of the day, I can't turn views into dollars. At least, I mean, I guess you can on YouTube, but that's not most universities aren't going to be making money with AdSense on YouTube. It's like the more phone calls we get, the more signups, emails that we get. This is a measurement of success. So I would just make sure that wherever your videos are at, that those calls to action are very near, or if you're using a tool like Wistia, you can embed those things inside of, when a video ends, there can be a box that comes up and says, hey, if you want our free resource, or if you want a free, you know, audit or call or whatever, give us your email address right here. And that's inside of the tool itself. So those are some of the things that I would use to make sure that the videos that we're producing are successful.
Yeah, definitely. Those vanity metrics, they only get you so far. You know, they're exciting at the beginning, but then, you know, when it comes time to really show the ROI, then they fall flat.
Yeah.
Looking ahead, what trends do you see video content on higher websites? Now, there's AI out there. Does it concern you at all? Just because these video AI tools are getting more and more sophisticated.
Yeah, I mean, we use them. There are plenty of things that will make part of our job a little bit easier. I think the thing that's always going to be in demand is some kind of a strategic guide. You know, somebody who's been there and done this, because you can say, hey, let's make a video, and it's like, okay, let's make it, or let's just hop on a ChatGPT. What kind of video should we make? Give us a script. And you can get pretty far, but is that the right video at the right time for where you guys are at? And having somebody that has some experience and can help guide that conversation and really help you understand, like, is it time for an FAQ video, or is it time for a brand video, or should you really consider what would it look like for us to have a mini documentary series or something like that? Is that, you know, is that helpful? So I think a strategic storytelling guide will be very, very useful for schools that can't necessarily afford a video full-time video person, or maybe they can afford a full-time video person, but that person is doing so many different jobs at the school that they don't have time to do the thinking part of a video. They can do the tactical and just show up and shoot the thing and edit a thing. But the most effective videos are ones that are thoughtful, you know, on the front end. We call this pre-production. And, you know, having somebody that can come alongside and help with the pre-production and the strategy in whatever campaign you're doing, it's probably my guess And my guess, you know, 10 years ago would have been like, no, of course, we're always going to have a job doing video. That's changing for a lot of people who are only doing one small part of video production.
Yeah.
So my guess today, in 10 years from now, it might be different, but yeah, you'll always need some kind of a coach or consultant or somebody that can help you make the right decision for what your goals are.
Yeah. No, that makes a lot of sense. And it's smart on your part to utilize these, AI tools to help you free up that brain space so that you can strategically, advise your clients on what hits at a particular time of year for the target audience. And so Ryan, super insightful episode. Thank you so much for being a part of the show. How can people get in touch with you if they want to learn more about you or if they want to partner with you?
Yeah, I'm on LinkedIn, Ryan Coral, it's Koral. I think I share some halfway decent stuff about video and just my my desire and drive to live authentically and try to help people along the way. My email is just Ryan@TellStudios. It's TellStudios.com. And then I was going to create a free, I've got all these resources, including our gear guide. So if somebody's just interested in that, they can download that. But if they go to enrollfilms.com/Hannon Hill, I'll have some additional resources there, including a testimonial checklist. So if you're thinking about testimonial videos, here's the framework that we use that really works. And that's going to be way better than just like, oh yeah, we love this place, which I don't know if that translates as well as people want it to, and opportunity for a strategy call with me. So if you're thinking or you're trying to figure out what kind of video should we be doing, I'll offer a free call for anybody that signs up for that too.
Very good. Everybody check the show notes. There will be a link to that resource. So Ryan, thank you very much again. It's been a pleasure. Always great chatting with you, man.
Chris, I appreciate it, man. Thank you for having me on today. This has been fun.
You bet. Take care. Hey, thanks so much for tuning into the show today. If you enjoyed it, don't keep it to yourself. Share with your friends in your network. And if you have a moment, I would really appreciate a review of the podcast. That'll help other people find the show as well. Tune in every Thursday morning at 8 a.m. when I release another episode. Take care now. Have a good one, friends.